Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Bodison, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part 2 of Spiritual Gifts as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 4, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So what they were doing is they were individualizing this whole thing. It was all about their own personal experience. It was all about them. It was all about, I'm more spiritual than you. Look what gift I have. Paul says, that's not remotely the purpose of the gifts. The purpose of the gifts, he says, is for the profit of all. That's why God has given gifts. He's given gifts for the profit of all of his people, that we might take the gifts that he's given to us, that we might use them according to his leading, and that through that, the body of Christ will be built up. The body of Christ will be blessed and strengthened. So he says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So they were, in their minds, they were wanting to take one gift and say, oh, no, this is the ultimate right here. Paul says, oh, there's diversities of gifts. There's a lot of different gifts. And he will put them in a bit of an order of importance, but it's always based on their ability to edify. The most important thing is that people are built up. So that's the order that he'll put them in. So there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Every ministry has some differences from other ministries. It's not always going to look the same. It's not always going to be exactly the same way. One of the mistakes that we make sometimes is we see God work in a certain way, and then we just say, okay, that's how he works, period. And then that we're just always looking for that. But then when he doesn't do it that way, we sometimes miss what he is doing because we're still looking for him to do it this way when he's doing it a different way. He's still ministering, but he's just doing it in a different way. And, you know, if you stop and think about it, that's really a great thing. It's a great thing that there's diversity. It's a wonderful thing. So we want to always keep that in mind, that there's diversity. As many different people and personalities as there are in the world, you could get that many different kinds of manifestations of the Spirit of God working. But we've got to remember, it's the same Lord. The same God that's doing something here with us might be doing something similar in the result and outcome, but maybe the method is different somewhere else. We have to be careful not to take a method and sort of canonize it. You know, we take a method and say, well, this is the method. This is the way God does it. And then we sort of get to thinking, well, this is kind of the only way God does it. And then when something else is happening over there, we're reluctant to say that's God because it's not happening like it happened here. But then on further examination, you realize, well, that sure looks like it's the Lord, even though it's different. Yeah, it is the Lord. It's just a different way of doing those same things, but he does them differently. So as we think about the work of the Spirit in our lives, we can think of the Spirit working in us in similar ways to how we see him work in other people's lives. But then at the same time, we just need to remember that there will be differences too, and it's okay. That's the way God planned it. And so we are to remember that. We are to expect diversities of gifts, differences of ministries, diversities of activities, but to always keep in mind that it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, we all know what a manifestation is, right? A manifestation is a showing. It's an appearance. Something being revealed. So it's the manifestation of the Spirit. These things that he's going to describe that we commonly refer to as gifts. But Paul specifically calls them manifestations of the Spirit. In other words, these are the things that they're revealing the Spirit's presence among us. That's what these things that we're going to read about, that's what they do. They reveal that the Spirit is here. They reveal that he is present. They reveal that he's the one that's at work. They reveal that these things are happening because of him. And that's what we want. We want the Lord to be at work. And here's the beautiful thing that we're going to see. Because they're the manifestations of the Spirit, we are all potentially avenues through which those manifestations can take place. God is manifesting, as we see here, he's manifesting through his people. So when we look at these different manifestations, we need to understand that God's going to be manifesting his self through the Spirit, working through these things in our lives to build up his people. Now, as we think about the gifts of the Spirit, there's a couple of distinctions that I think we need to be aware of. Or there's different listings of giftings in the New Testament. We've got Romans chapter 12. Paul refers to them as gifts there, and he talks about the various things, teaching and prophecy and giving and some of the different ones that are mentioned there. Then, of course, we have the list that we're going to look at here as we move on. But then in Ephesians chapter 4, you have another reference to gifts. And then in 1 Peter, you have some references there as well. But in Ephesians 4, let's talk about those for a minute. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us that it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that the ascended Lord gave gifts to men. So the church is to be built by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through those he has gifted. Now, that's God's plan. That's his intention. And it's for that reason that Satan has been busy over all of these centuries trying to create confusion and thwart the efforts of God through the working of his Spirit. The first thing we read there in the first verse of chapter 12, remember, Paul says, "Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning these things." There's been a ton of ignorance in the church regarding spiritual gifts. Ignorance, confusion, those are the things that generally surround this topic. So you can see the enemy's worked overtime. He doesn't want the church to advance. He doesn't want the body to be edified. And one of the ways that he works against it is creating confusion and ignorance and so forth over this whole area of the gifts. So it's the confusion that has generally led people to holding extreme views on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. There are generally two categories that you find kind of across the board in the church. And the categories are, generally speaking, you've got, I've already referred to them earlier, you've got the extreme charismatic kinds of activities going on where it's just a free-for-all. And it's sort of anything goes. And there's no biblical boundaries. There's no safeguards. It's just, you know, whatever you feel the Spirit of God's doing, you just go with it, and then you just pronounce, you know, a blessing on it, and that's it. And it's confusion, it's chaos. So that's one extreme. But then you get the other extreme, which I think most of the time is a reaction to the charismatic craziness. People just say, hey, if that's the Holy Spirit, I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not interested. Well, look, that's not the Holy Spirit. And they take a passage out of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and they wrongly interpret it. When that which is perfect will come, then that which is in part will pass away. And they try to apply that to the Bible and the gifts. They say that which is perfect, which, as we'll read it, we'll find that's not what it's not talking about the Bible. It's talking about the perfected state. It's talking about when we go to heaven. But they interpret it, when the Bible is complete, then the gifts will cease. They'll pass away. So their position is known as a cessationist position. Cessationist meaning the gifts have ceased with the death of the last apostle. So since the apostolic age, we haven't had prophecy, tongues, miracles, healings, all of that stuff was there to kickstart it. All that stuff was there to get it going. But ever since then, we don't have that any longer. And there are plenty of people that hold to those views today. So these are the two extremes. But the reality is the Bible gives you a beautiful balance. There are supernatural things that happen. There are gifts of the Spirit. There are healings. There are miracles. There are wonders. There are prophecies. There are these things. But they're not done in an atmosphere of chaos and confusion and disorder and nonsense. They're done decently and in order because God is not the author of confusion. And I often wonder, you know, if people just would thoroughly read the chapters that are before us, chapter 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, it just balances the whole thing out because Paul dealt with the same problems. The Corinthians were crazy charismatics in some instances. And he writes these things to put a lid on that and to show that, no, that's not the way it's done. Paul didn't come along and say, oh, tongues aren't for today. No, Paul said, I speak with tongues more than any of you. But you need to understand what tongues really are and when it's appropriate to speak in them and when it's not appropriate. That's what he did. Paul didn't say there's no more prophecy. Paul didn't say we shouldn't expect supernatural things to happen. Paul affirmed all of those things. But he reminded us that they're going to be done decently and orderly. And that's what we need to always do. We need to always make sure we're in the biblical boundary for these things. So there in Ephesians 4, we have a list of gifts. Some he gave apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, these are, I guess the best way to kind of define them, these are spiritual offices. And these are gifts that God gives to his church for the purpose of building up his church. He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so for the edifying of the body of Christ, what we have been given by God are men who are gifted in these different ways. Some have an apostolic gift. Some have a prophetic gift. Some have that pastor-teacher gift. Some have that evangelist gift. And they're all to be working together for the building up of the body of Christ. And those are gifts that I think are distributed sovereignly by God's will and choosing. He just chooses who he's going to choose. And that's, I don't know that we, any of us have much to do with that, quite honestly. But it's those gifts that he gives for that purpose. But then there are those gifts that we mentioned in Romans 12. And now here's the thing that I want to do. I want to make a distinction between the Romans 12 and the 1 Corinthians 12 giftings. The difference between the two is, I think, simply this. The ones that we're going to study, these ones that we're going to look at here, they are obviously supernatural. The Romans 12 gifts, although they are supernatural, they appear to be more natural. So you see, sometimes gifts, supernatural, spiritual gifts, are manifested in very natural kind of ways. And I think probably the gift that most easily communicates that is to, I don't know, maybe the gift of teaching does. You know, teaching is a gift. But in a lot of ways, it doesn't necessarily seem all that supernatural when you're listening to somebody teach, right? You know, so it's somebody's just teaching. But there's a supernatural thing happening. And of course, you're realizing it, you know, maybe not all the time, but there's certainly moments you're realizing it because God's speaking to you. He's telling you things that you need to know, that nobody else knows you need to know, but somehow they're coming out of this preacher's mouth. And that's where you see the supernatural part of it. But, you know, it all seems like a very natural thing, right? But something supernatural is going on. Undoubtedly, God's speaking to many. But these other gifts that we're going to be looking at, or these manifestations, these are things that are obviously supernatural. These are things that are meant, they're intentionally given to show us God is with us. God is here. Because people can't do these things. And so as we go through these things, that's what we're going to see. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy. They're supernatural. They come spontaneously. They come instantly. They come at that right moment when they're desperately needed, and they bring the solution, the answer, the deliverance, whatever it is. And we know when it happens, wow, that was the Lord. So that's a distinction between those two. The Romans 12 gifts are supernatural, but they are oftentimes manifested in a more natural sense. These 1 Corinthians gifts are supernatural and obviously supernatural. As we've already mentioned, let me just say a few other things. The purpose of the gifts is for the profit of all. So we're not seeking gifts just, you know, for our own benefit. It's for the profit of other people. So when God gives you a gift, it's going to be to bless other people. It's not something for you just to simply enjoy. It's something that others are going to be edified through. The gifts functioning in the body are essential to its edification. Now, if the body is going to be built up the way God intends it to be, the gifts have to be functioning. You know, you have a church that just slams the door on the gifts of the Spirit, says, we don't believe in that, we don't allow for that, we're not going to give place to that, we're not going to tolerate it. You're going to have a church that's not going anywhere. You're going to have a church that's not going to grow. It's not going to progress. It's not able to, because growth takes place through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the gifts functioning in the body, they're essential for its edification. Now, the context of the gifts is twofold. It's the general assembly and the larger body of Christ. So when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit manifesting, we're talking about that happening in the general assembly, which means our gatherings together. You know, smaller group meetings, home fellowships, things like that. They're ideal environments for that kind of thing to happen. So, but it's the general assembly, the gathering of the saints. But the other context is the larger body of Christ. So, you know, sometimes we get limited in our view of the body of Christ as just our own congregation. We have to look out beyond our own congregation. We have to realize that there's a large body out there that we're part of. And the gifts, our gifts, will make a contribution to the edification of that larger body of Christ. So we might find ourselves, just say collectively, congregationally, we're joining together in efforts with the larger body of Christ to bring blessing and edification. Now, the Spirit works all these things. The Spirit. These are the workings of the Spirit. Now, let me say this. These manifestations that we're going to study over the next few weeks, I do not believe myself that any of these are the permanent possession of any believer, but rather the potential experience of every believer. I believe that every one of us could potentially be the conduit through which prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, miracles, any one of us, every one of us are potential vehicles through which these kinds of things can take place because they are the spirits. These are the manifestations of the spirit. And so it's not that we necessarily would possess these as our own, but we are all potential recipients and vessels of these gifts. We can all experience these gifts at one time or another, but they are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are based upon the sovereignty of God and not the will of man. And I think it's important to keep this in mind, especially when we come to the gifts of healing and prophecy. Now, that's not to say that there might be somebody who more frequently experiences these manifestations than other people do. But you can't really find anywhere in the Bible where anybody except Jesus, who did not receive the Spirit in measure, but the fullness of the Spirit was on him, you can't find any person who permanently possessed any one of these kinds of manifestations and could exercise them at their will. Even the apostles, as great as they were limited in their ability to exercise spiritual power. There were times when they couldn't heal people. And we know that's true because Paul himself talks about his friends being sick. He gives them, you know, medical advice. So obviously he couldn't just heal them. It wasn't that they could just prophesy at any moment. Here, let me get a word from the Lord for you, and thus says the Lord. Now, this is the reason I say that, because in some of the crazy charismatic circles that I was referring to, this is the kind of thing that they promote and insist on, and I just think it's incorrect. And let me just say, too, when I say crazy charismatic, I'm talking about the behavior, not necessarily the people. But we want to be free to experience the gifts of the Spirit and know that we can do so in a way that truly honors God and truly benefits the body to the fullest extent. And one thing that I have found about this whole subject of the gifts of the Spirit, there's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of people today who just don't know anything about it. And on the other hand, there's a lot of confusion. People are just really confused over, like, tongues, for example. What are tongues? Are tongues real? Are tongues for today? We'll address those things. We'll answer those questions. But then there's also just a lot of fear. People are afraid because they've maybe been subject to abuses. They've maybe seen things that are out of balance and inappropriate. And so the whole subject kind of freaks them out. And we don't want to be freaked out over the Holy Spirit. We want to realize the Holy Spirit is the Lord, and he's not going to come and do some weird thing among us. He's going to do something that's peaceable and something that we, you know, it's the Lord. When the Lord is here, it's not weird. It's different. It's powerful. It's definitely supernatural, but it's not weird in that sense. So there's nothing to be afraid of. We want to open ourselves up to the Lord, and we can have confidence that as we use the Scripture as our boundary, as our guideline, we have nothing to be afraid of.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Spiritual Gifts, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0211, Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBurdison and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBurdison. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.